see on this issue for a long time. And we are seeing now begin at a local level.
We have about a minute. We have about a minute left, and I'd like to bring Reverend Dr. Raphael Warnock back to talk about, in the minute that we have, the moral challenge to our country on this issue of gun violence and gun control.
Well, this is a moral issue. Dr. King said it best, perhaps. He said that if we live by the principle of an eye for an eye, that leaves everybody blind. And I think we can't allow a few extremists to use the kind of demagoguery that confuses this issue. After Sandy Hook, I think the data showed that about 90% of Americans, believe it or not, supported some level of reasonable gun reform, and still it did not happen. And it's because the other issue that's driving this issue is the vast and inordinate influence of money in politics. Too often we have the best politicians that money can buy, and that, for me, is a moral issue. But somehow, moral voices, people of goodwill, have to stand up and speak truth to power. It's our democracy that we have to reclaim in a moment like this.
We want to thank you both for being with us, especially on this day, Juneteenth. That's right, June 19th in 1865 was the day that African Americans in Texas learned 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation that the slaves had been freed. That does it for our broadcast. Reverend Dr. Raphael Warnock, Colin Goddard, thanks for joining us. I'll be speaking in Custer, Wisconsin, Saturday at 1 o'clock. Democracy Now! Is hiring a senior news producer and engagement editor. Find out all the details at democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us.
KBU Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Food Wars 8, hosted by Clinton Street Theater. This annual music and comedy festival is also a food drive and will feature entertainment from August in Blue, Bad Habit, Tragedy, Boomer, Belinda Carroll, and more. Again, that's Food Wars 8, Sunday, June 21st at 5 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
What would you have instead?
This is it.
Comes a time when every second, every day, when every action, every thought will tell the world how you cast your vote.
Break our legs, and we say thank you, and the upper.
And good morning. Good morning. It's 4 minutes after 8 o'clock, and you are listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio station. And this is Positively Revolting. I'm Ani.
I'm Lynn.
And together, we are here with you this morning celebrating the coming solstice. Solstice is Saturday. This is that turning of the wheel that celebrates the high times of summer. In days of yore, right? Looking at where a good part of my spiritual path comes from is sort of the Celtic traditions, the Northwestern European pagan traditions. In that climate, in that latitude, this is seen as the midpoint of summer, not the start of summer, as our Gregorian calendars always happily note, summer begins on solstice. I see it more as a continuation. It's the high point. It's the culmination. And if we look at Shakespeare, because why not? We always like to look at Shakespeare, don't we? He calls the solstices, you know, midsummer and midwinter. A midwinter's night, you know, midsummer night's dream. This is the culmination of that energy, starting at Beltane or May Day, and diminishing towards Lammas, or we call that Lunasa, or we call it August 2nd, whatever you want to call that. What do you have to say, Lynn?
I have a lot to say about the summer solstice. You know, the stis in the solstice is about standing still. That's when, astrologically, the sun kind of stands still. Those are the two points on both solstice points, on the summer and the winter solstice. So you're saying that that's the middle of summer makes total astrological sense, because that is the heights when it stands still, and then the days start to get shorter, which we really hate.
We don't hate it. It's all a cycle.
All right. Anyway, it stands still with no movement. It's the four marking days in astrology, which are the solstices and then the two spring and autumn equinoxes. This year it is at 9:37 Pacific Standard Time. And it kind of portends what's up for the coming season, for the rest of the summer season. And it's very interesting. You know, for a long time I've been telling everyone about the Uranus-Pluto square, and I have some kind of good news. Not good news, it's easy news, let's say that. I'm not going to give it a value judgment. I'll say it's some easy, some fun things. We are at the time of the solstice. So the sun and Mars are going to be conjunct, which means they are together in the sky. This, within a certain amount of degrees, this can lead to sort of feisty. It can be aggressive, but, you know, ooh, they're in Cancer. It could be incredibly passive aggressive, but but also
hey.
a time to be able to make things happen. And with the water,
to feel our strength,
to feel your strength, to push forward towards a person's goals, whatever those may be. Then another real interesting thing that's going to be happening after this also is that Jupiter is going to be in Leo, and it's going to be conjunct Venus in Leo. Jupiter Venus conjunctions, which just means they're traveling together for a while, can be of a lot of opportunity and good feelings. Like, it's easy to feel good, and Leo certainly loves to celebrate and dress, and be careful about over shopping during this time, because Jupiter can be a house of cards. It's a gassy planet, but it's also a planet of opportunity and luck. And so they're also going to be trying with Mr. Uranus, who is the wild guy of the of the planets, which can make for instant opportunities, but you have to be there and focused, the sun conjunct Mars has more of a probability of happening. So this can be a time of great opportunity. Love, Venus is not just about love, it's about your desire nature. So your heart's dreams can be starting. You can accomplish some things that perhaps you wouldn't. Relationships, it's a good time, can be a fun time for relationships. All these...
isn't it also just sort of a time to appreciate sensual beauty?
Sure.
Like, you know, I always associate that with Venus. If we want to get out of
desire,
like,
nature,
the interpersonal relationship,
right,
then
right.
It is immersive in the sensual experience.
Right. And opportunities during this time just can come out of the blue. Uranus is known for that. It's like, whoa. And if you don't take advantage of them with Uranus, it sort of goes away. The only part that is a little stressful will be Saturn has retrograded back into Scorpio. So any deep-seated resentments that you have opportunities to work on that again. Woohoo!
It's like the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, kind of like that. Yeah, that's Saturn, that's for sure. And so that's my, but anyway, that's another thing that I was listening to Rick Levine, who's one of my favorite astrologers, and he was saying that to him, Saturn and the Sun and Mars together, this can mean, astrologically speaking, that portend a very hot summer. Now, you don't have to look in the skies to figure that one out, but that's what he was saying, and I'm passing it on.
That seems right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you don't really have to be all that predictive. Yeah. seems a bit warm. Well, so what we thought we would focus on today, of course, is then the celebratory nature of the solstice, of this high point of, you know, I think of this time of year as a most important time to recharge, because just as the midwinter's night is the longest night of the year, the time of great introspection and dreaming, the time of visioning to actually give shape to our thoughts and our ideas about how we need to be in this world to, you know, hopefully affect positive change in our own lives and in our communities and our world around us. So is the summer solstice the time to take in all the energy that really requires to make it happen. And so one of the questions I have for you, dear listeners, is how you handle balancing between work, service to community and friends, the earth, God, however you see service, and joy, play, spontaneity, and fun.
That seems to be a really big time theme right now as, you know, some people blame it on so many people being in Portland, but there's a lot of things going on that things are very intense in the cities right now. And it's not just Portland, it's throughout the country and the world. So how do you balance keeping yourself together with work, with mm-hmm. the amount of play that a person needs to live? Right now, it's that is like play is being diminished. Oh, it has something to do with work. Well, if you really like it, then you should try to make money at that, and then keep going on. And of course, Ani and I were just in the forest for a while, which is, I know why people do that on the solstice. It's lighter for longer. I mean, the whole ritual of that was incredibly clear to me during this forest time, to be with green and to have the birds be your music, or someone playing the flute in the... As the case may be. Unelectrified music and...
It's a very grounding experience, mm-hmm. you know, where we can actually try to let go of the modern world, as it were, of the world that is very plugged in touch and in tune with all things happening instantaneously, you know, to let go of the Twitter feed, to let go of the telephone, to let go of everything and everyone you cannot see face to face for a moment, and just be sitting amongst some tree roots, you know, feeling some moss and being instead of thinking about doing. It's an interesting experience, and one I heartily recommend if you haven't done that for a bit, because even my vacations tend to be a bit busy, you know, and I think that's true for many people as we really try to see how much relaxing we can do in a vacation, how many things we can see, how many things we can enjoy, and we forget to actually spend time just being and enjoying ourselves and each other. And that came home to me a lot this week. So that's where one of the places my thoughts are in terms of achieving that balance, and that is to occasionally unplug. It was funny because I was cranky for about a minute and a half upon camping, because, yeah, Wi-Fi, it's kind of ubiquitous. And in this last year, I have joined the club that has the smarty pants phone in my pocket, so I can be instantly connected anywhere, anytime. And there seemed like there might be Wi-Fi connection for the advanced scouting crew.
There was spotty,
sent,
which is great.
Sent the picture of the tent is up to encourage me to, you know, get on out there. And when I got on out there, there was no Wi-Fi.
Not for you.
No, signal gone. So I just found that interesting. My response to that was kind of for about a half a minute, I was like, but I was going to finish this thing for work, and I was going to do this other thing, and I was going to post some pictures, and I know, I've got a book. There's some trees over there. I need to reframe, because obviously I am now sick. You know, and I think that there is a sickness. There is an addiction with the screen. And it's good
it's one of the most addictive substances.
It's good when we are able to bring that to our minds and move past it.
Well, and that whole thing when you're out in the woods, that you're the whole focus during the day is on either are you going to climb some place or take a walk, and then there's fixing food and cleaning up, just like really basic, lovely things, and to not be interrupted by the sounds of traffic or
no sirens, no people yelling,
the loudest thing we had was grok. What did we call
it? It was a raven.
But it was actually a family, we realized, of ravens that would felt that dawn. Well, you know what the heck for them. Dawn is the time for everyone to awaken, and
well, they are birds.
I know.
Birds are traditionally early risers. I think they've heard the
up
old
with
adage,
the birds.
You know, that they get worms, more worms if they rise early. I don't know that that's true, but they seem to believe it. Anyways, we are here, and we invite your responses. We invite your thoughts on the solstice, on regeneration and rejuvenation, and we do actually have the electro-ephemeris and deck of tarot cards at the handy. So if you are interested in having a little mini bite-sized reading.
However, if you've had one in the last few months, could you let the other folks, because the lines usually are going off the hook with this. So if you could let other folks have one, that would be lovely. We would appreciate that. And I know who you are, because I have you all in my phone.
The number to call is 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187.
And if you just want to let us know also, you know, how you're planning to spend your summer, or how you disconnect from the whirlwind of city life, how you get out there and how you unwind. Maybe you unwind well in the city. We'd like to know. Everyone would like to know. It's a really, seems like a good thing.
Well, and the counterpart of that is, you know, how you're rejuvenating, how you are finding your balance, but also what you are focusing your energies upon. You know, for me, there is an inseparable mix of political action, spiritual awareness, joy, play, work. All of those things in my life are pretty well twined together, let's just say. And so finding the balance and finding my way through that is kind of an interesting thing. But
I've just had the worst time with it lately.
But as we turn the wheel of the year,
yeah,
as we look at these cycles, I realize that it's you know, about this time, not only do I want to take in all the playful energy, but I also really want to look at how I'm using my energy and how effective I'm being, and what issues are really what issues I'm facing. Especially in the political world, in the social change world, where do I want to put energy that maybe I haven't? You know, do I need to shift focus? And I realized that for myself this year, Really, I want to be focusing a whole lot more on how we treat each other as human beings. And I want to be focusing a whole lot more on undoing the violence of racism and looking at issues of immigration as well. And for me, I think that that's what I've been getting when I've been doing some deep thoughts and meditations on social change and where I fit into the puzzle. So that, you know, that's also a thing that I think is fortuitously timed, if you will. If you take these cyclical change points, whether you're a pagan or not, you know, you can look at the Gregorian calendar and think of it as an interesting way to count off time. You don't have to give it much more meaning than that. But to check in, you know, say several times a year on regular points and see how you're doing. See how the world around you is doing. See if there's something that you might need to refocus. You don't need to be a deeply spiritual or neo-pagan person. It's just, you know, think of it as summer, a little fine-tuning. How are you spending your energy? Where are you focusing your good for social change? That's another question I have for you, dear listener. 503-231-8187.
And the bases are loaded. Let's start Ready with Catherine.
Good morning, Catherine.
Oh, good morning.
How are you?
Fair to middling, I guess.
Okay.
Did you want a little mini reading?
I would love a mini reading. I didn't call the last time you did this. I almost called. I think I called at the end, and then it was
Yeah, that never works.
So. And it was too late. Yes.
What are your stats? What is birth time? Time, place.
Oh. Okay, June 22nd, 1956, I think 1:47 a.m. in Portland, Oregon.
All right. That's very good. Thank
Yay,
you.
Yay, Portlander.
Mm-hmm.
You lived here your whole life? I ask curiously.
Oh, my, so far.
Yep. me too. Yeah, almost exactly 10 years later. So we have seen our city change some, eh?
We certainly have.
And what I have, so I'm shuffling cards like mad as Lynn types into her ephemeris. And this is, you know, that part of the show where we really have to have some sort of like Jeopardy music or something going on.
Like for the final Jeopardy.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, dead air, it just doesn't work. Shuffling cards, it's not such interesting audio. Okay. But here's what I have for you. This is a time to really watch your communication and to make sure that you are participating in really good, positive communication. Not, I wouldn't be listening to a lot of negativity. You can choose to sort of shut that off without being like, oh, how do we say, in denial, head in the clouds. You know, you don't want to go to that extreme. But if there's some persistent sort of negative tattletaling sort of milieu that's going on around you, try to extricate yourself from that. I think it's an important time for you to pay attention to your own visions, your own dreams, your own inner voice. You've kind of submerged them for a while. And so trying to quiet that sort of busyness of chatter will help to reconnect with that interior knowledge, that interior wisdom, the reflective self. And this is, it's important to really maintain balance. And this is, doing that. Quieting the chatter to open up the reflection and introspection is really an essential part of achieving that balance. And once you have more control, more balance, you are able to do great feats.
She says skeptically. So you've probably been feeling that spiritually things have just been sort of sitting on you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You have Scorpio in the 12th house, and right now, and you have, you're having, Saturn is conjuncting your Saturn at the moment, natal Saturn. We call that really hard. So things feel more difficult, but it's a really good time to learn how to structure your life, like change the structures. I know, and you're a Gemini, I'm telling you this, I'm sorry.
She's a Cancer.
I'm sorry, a Cancer.
I'm on the cusp.
She's on the bike. She's a bicuspid.
I know, but as a Cancer, I claim her.
I'm sorry. You are a Cancer. So Saturnian things really sit hard on you. I know that's true. But it's time to sort of refocus your energy on the structure in your life. And that's going to be passing soon. And Saturn will be out of Scorpio, because it's 29 degrees, it only goes to 30 in just a couple months. So if you can use this time to help, it's really good time to look at old resentments and see if you want to let those go for any reason. And that will kind of help, that'll help you feel a little bit lighter. And also, the sun is going to, after the solstice, as I was saying, the sun is going to be conjunct Mars. So that's going to give you some energy to get things done and impetus.
Good.
Yeah, and impetus to get things done. So this could be a very good summer. Do you have any specific questions?
Well, on the communication, I'm wondering if it's me doing the negative communication, but I'm also wondering, I'm having an issue with not having any communication. And it's a really stressful, position, because then you imagine all kinds of terrible things. And
in face of the lack of communication. Yeah, right. So, yeah, I would get out of that loop. Get out of the imagination loop, because that's not doing you any good. That's, remember one time while meditating, the phrase busy head came to me.
Mad monkey mind.
Yeah, sure. That won't do anyone any good. What I have is, the card is the Maiden of Blades. It is the card of, traditional gossip, of keeping each other informed and in the loop, of all of the benefits of rapid fire communication. And what you have is it completely submerged and underneath the Maiden of Cups, which is about really bringing to fore the reflective self, the mindful, visionary self, the dreamy self. So I would really de-emphasize the intellectual communication. It is challenged. It is sort of a stagnant thing at the moment. It is not helpful. If you have said your piece, if you have done your part, I would at this point focus more on bringing forward your dream self and see if you can find another way to go about the same challenge.
Yeah.
Okay.
When Jupiter shifts into Leo in very soon, you've got Jupiter and Pluto conjunct in the 11th house of groups and social things. So when Jupiter starts hitting that, and Uranus and Aries, that's all going to be just a lovely combination for this, whatever this communication issue is, to sort of, you're going to feel better so you can let it go and move on. This sounds like a stuck place.
Yeah, it definitely feels like I'm stuck, yeah.
So you have the opportunity. It's up to you, always up to you, but you have the opportunity to move on. And there should be some really good opportunities this summer.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Catherine. Bonne chance.
Bye-bye. And with that, let's go ahead and talk to Don. Good morning, Don. You're on the air.
Good morning. I love your show.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah.
And what's going on for you today?
Well, wait a minute.
Well, I'm working, but
good.
Extended break. I was interested in a mini reading, please.
All right. So as we prepare your mini reading, you get to tell us how you're achieving balance.
But first, give me your birth date, place and time.
Yes. So February 28th, 1966. It was approximately 11 p.m., San Diego, California.
All right. It was a brilliant year.
It was. Mm-hmm. And I've been in Portland for 20-plus years.
So excellent.
I have seen a lot of changes in the city as well.
Yeah, no, for sure. The last 20 years, I've seen quite a few. All right, Don.
So how do you break free of all this?
You know, I'm an avid hiker, biker, and I play disc golf like a maniac. So
while you're hiking?
What's that?
While you're hiking?
Yeah, no, not while hiking, but you know, you go out to like Milo MacGyver State Park.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you're walking around out there throwing a frisbee around. But you know, I like to hike in the gorge,
mm-hmm.
and you know, just get out. I think I've hiked all those trails multiple times, but I never get tired of them. And I like to just get up, go out there, hike, find a place on the edge of the gorge and just sit down and soak it in. You know, I go by myself most of the time. So
lovely. Yeah.
That's one reason you live here, right? Because we have such, I hate to say that out loud anymore on public airwaves.
Yeah, shush.
Okay. What a great
outdoor. Nothing to see here. Move along.
It's all secret stuff, though. But it rains here, and the people are crazy. Don't come.
We all have to have a secret or two.
Right, right. All right, Don. What I have for you card-wise is right now dealing with some emotions that need to sort of be unpacked and processed. They need to sort of be let out. And these are probably fairly strong emotions having to do with anger, having to do with feeling injustice or having been done wrong in some way. And they're not doing any good bottled up inside you. But again, looking at this time of year especially, seeing what you can use as fuel for change. And a lot of times people try to subsume or squash their anger because, well, that's such a negative emotion. And, you know, now we're all enlightened in the age of Aquarius. We're not supposed to get angry. We're, you know, and that just, it doesn't actually work because we're people and it's a very human thing. And so oftentimes as we try to squash things, they just sort of take root inside us and don't do us any good at all. So, and can actually sort of grow and fester. So best to find a good way to channel that emotional processing. Hiking is brilliant, you know, and when you're out there alone, maybe giving a couple of good yells. You know, think about moving energy up and out of you and doing some release work. Sometimes some body work and massage can be an adjunct therapy to that and can help sort of unknot muscles and release muscle memory, body memory. Because sometimes that component is forgotten when people are trying to process emotions. The body remembers everything, right? So trying to release, some people like to look into drumming at this time or throwing clay, something that you can really be a little bit physically forceful in the direction of energy. I used to do some clay, so, you know, there's nothing like pounding a new bag of clay and making sure all its little air bubbles are out to really work some energy through you, whether you ever want to make a pot or not.
Or bake some bread.
Yeah, baking bread, that's another fine way, but then I wouldn't actually eat it because it's got all that anger in it. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, whatever, it's a process. Anyway, that's part of it. Also, it is looking at reconnecting with those that mean something to you, bringing it back together, those connections that may have been languishing for a little bit, may have not been tended to very regularly. it's a good time to reach out and reconnect and really find a satisfaction thereof, finding rootedness and, again, a little more grounded sense of belonging. And ultimately, it's talking about you writing with a little bit firmer hand your own destiny. This is an excellent time if you can get a real clear vision to see where you want to go next, to start spinning out the web that makes that happen, if you will. It's a good time to put that to weave that new life, that new twist into place. It can be hard going. Again, you've got some clearing out work to do first, and some reconnection. But ultimately, those changes put you in a much firmer position to direct your intention.
Okay, and as usual.
Okay.
Do you have a question for Ani before I start in?
I've struggled with alcohol for a long time. I just wondered if that was
My Pisces brother, it is a good time. You've got Chiron hitting. Chiron is the wounded healer. Chiron is who gave us natural medicine, fire, all sorts of, many things. Chiron is very prominent in your chart right now in Pisces, like your sun sign, and it is a great time to heal that sort of thing. That, you know, Chiron is the king of naturopathic medicine. It's the wounded healer. He could not heal himself, but he helped other people. So I'm not saying that you cannot heal yourself. I'm saying this is a good time to reach out and try to get some help. All these planets that are, you have a Leo ascendant, and right now all those planets that are going to be in Leo, Venus is there right now, but it's going to go into Cancer. But Jupiter's going to go through your first house. It's going to give you the energy physically to try to right yourself. But it can go that you just want to party also. So it's up to you to make that decision. But the energy from the universe is here to support you at the moment. If that's what you want to do, it's a really good time to do that.
And I would look at the connections. Oftentimes, people who have been struggling with substances and, going through addictive behaviors and that kind of stuff often push people away. And so it might be an excellent time to sort of look back and remember who was absolutely vital and important to you and reconnect and have that be part of the affirmation to stay on a healthier course for you.
Yeah, and it's a really good time to ask for help.
Yeah.
You're more than likely get it.
Hmm. Okay, thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
Absolutely.
Ladies, have a great day.
You too.
Happy trails. Happy solstice. Yep. And I think we have Pat. We have also 503-231-8187, the number to call this morning if you would like to join us. Like Pat is doing now. Good morning, Pat.
Yes, it is the not so famous payphone Pat.
The once famous, the recently more reclusive payphone Pat.
And for Lynn, it's 227.
I think I've got you down here, Pat.
53, maybe.
Well, I
227, 53, 8:45 p.m.
53, maybe I don't have you down.
I don't think you do.
I don't think I do. I'm sorry. Give me that again. Pardon
two,
me.
No problem. 227, 53, another fish.
Yes.
8:45 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Anchorage, Alaska.
Anchored down in Anchorage.
I didn't know that.
And, yes, indeed. Elmendorf Air Force Base, to be exact. My question is concerning the retirement outlook, just a general. What is that possible for me now?
Uh huh.
And while you're shuffling, I learned the drill quickly. While you're shuffling, my summertime activities, for some of us, sitting still and meditating is harder work than moving about.
Yes.
So I spend my time floating and wading about the rivers, from gravel bar to gravel bar, hunting semi-precious stones.
That is a brilliant thing.
Well, and in order to find them, you have to slow way, way, way down.
Right.
And you kind of get into that frame of mind of the water, how the water moves, the
sure.
riverbank, and how the rocks themselves, you start noticing patterns and things and how they like respond to the water on a yearly basis. And so that, I want to speak of the herons and the osprey and the frogs. And I did discover two new frog nurseries on the Sandy River this year. Hooray
oh,
for
excellent.
Frogs.
Yeah. I miss frogs. Frogs, starfish, and though I guess I heard that some of the starfish are coming back from people at
the ocean. I haven't been down to the ocean in a long time.
Well, you should. Mr. Pisces, brother.
Talk about rejuvenation.
Continuing on our water sign morning.
Yes, I do love the fact that all callers have matched one of our two astrological signs. What I have for you, Pat, is, you might want to think about retiring.
Hallelujah.
Now, of course, I might always say that to somebody because I personally feel like, no time like the present to experience our true life and joy. But that said, what the cards, and you have three major arcana out of three. So rather intense energy, rather a lot of energy focused on that at this time. One of the cards is... So, of course, I have a pretty non-traditional deck. I've mentioned that before. This card doesn't show up in other decks. It's the card of oppression. This is the card of being buried under the weight of other people's ideas of who you are.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Got that, yeah.
Okay. The actual image of the card is a witch being pressed under stones during the burning times, right? So it's heavy, Yeah, it's a heaviness of other people's ideas weighting you down, distancing you from your true path and journey.
I can so relate.
Okay. The next card is the Lovers. It's the card of Aphrodite. It's the card of...
She was beautiful but flighty. And she always wore her nighty, but she's good enough for me.
Oh, Lynn. Linda's going to go off and do a revival after the show.
That was a Joseph Campbell thing.
It was. Anyways, Aphrodite. So also in this deck, I have two cards representing the Lovers. And when you first get this deck, you're supposed to, figure out which one feels more in tune with you and take the other one out. I never did that because they speak of different things to me. And so, interestingly enough, the one that is showing up for you, to me, speaks more of enjoying that sensual beauty that surrounds us all, the glorious earth on which we live, from which we live. And actually, mm-hmm. the image of the card are a couple of people playing in a river, just for you know.
Excellent.
Okay, moving on. And it ends with strength. Which is, of course, you reuniting, not even reuniting, but acknowledging that you have everything you need within yourself, that you are a blend of the wild and the spirit, that you are comfortable with your physical nature, you are grounded, and that you act from your center in strength when you... are able to shake off the opinions of others and surround yourself in beauty. How's that?
Okay.
The Piscean dilemma, huh? We can tell what's going on, but how much of it do we want to absorb? But then, we can also, we do have the ability to let it go and you know that. The retirement thing, that's how I feel. And yet I've never been busier in my business. I don't know. I think, as Ani said, you should always retire if you want. You know, so Chiron, once again, is in Pisces right now. It is just transited your sun sign. It's up in Mercury. That's part of...
Your sun sign's all up in Mercury, dude.
Sorry. It's going... I don't know. I just feel that when Chiron is that close to some, because you have Mercury in Pisces and you've got a bunch of other asteroids in Pisces, or in Aries, it's transiting through that stuff. I don't know. What do you want to do after you retire? Can you retire?
Good question.
Yeah. Do you need to still work? Do you need to be doing something else and just shifting from one job to another?
Well, there's the practical matter of the bills, and then
I know.
Right. Yeah.
I'm with you.
So there is, that's actually part of the question. The mandated healthcare situation has put me in a bind.
Mm-hmm. Well, our good friend Michael Mead always says that as you get older, you're supposed to, instead of just taking tons of medication, be the medicine for the other, for the younger people.
Okay.
And so I see you have a lot of knowledge in that area. I don't know. I just see you as maybe transitioning into that sort of thing is not a bad thing. It's like, you can be a therapist or a healer and be as old as you want to be.
Yeah, okay.
And in fact, I just saw a movie last night about a woman, this old shaman in Mexico, and I thought, yeah, that's the people that can handle, as you know, from your knowledge of what you have accumulated throughout this cycle of life, that you, it's time to share that, and that can be part of the medicine. But yeah,
because time to rethink that then.
Yes, but it's also a time. Yeah, if you feel like you should retire, I understand. It's like, but what to do then? How to keep, keep body and soul together? And it's, in our culture, you're washed up if you're in your 60s instead of it's time sometimes to transition into something else. Does that make sense for you?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I feel that. And my heart is refreshed. Thank you, lady.
Oh, that's
you
so
take
sweet.
Good care.
Thank you, Pat.
Blessed be.
You too.
Bye, darling. All right. You know, it occurs to me, I love our community of the airwaves, because you're our last caller. I'm just going to go ahead and disclose. With somebody who I had never met, but was a regular caller when we first started this show. Oh, yes. 21 years ago. And so, getting to know folks through the airwaves, I love that. There's so many connections that we have made, and I love the fact that we do have this community, etheric though it may be. And along those lines, if you do want to follow along with Positively Revolting throughout the week, you can find us on Facebook and like us there, Positively Revolting. You can also find us on Twitter, where we are.
The Twitter sphere.
At Positive Revolt. So, with all that in mind, and 12 minutes left, let's go ahead and take our next caller. Good morning, Chalema. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Chalema.
Hi, Chalema is actually how you
Chalema.
Say it.
Okay, thank you for correcting us.
Yes, good.
Sure.
And how are you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I mean, of course, my entire life is up in the air, but I'm doing fine. So,
some people can work with that amount of ambiguity or uncertainty.
It's all I got, so
right.
Might as well.
Exactly.
So my birthday is December 2nd. I had fire in the house. Mm-hmm. December 2nd, 1962, Columbia, Missouri.
Do you know what time?
8:05 a.m.
Thank you. I love these people that all know their times. Just excellent.
Yeah. It's like these people have thought about this sort of
thing.
Yeah,
you'd think so.
Well, I actually do a little astrology myself, so it's always good to get another perspective.
It is, always.
Always,
yeah. Yes, yeah. And so, yeah, what's I don't know, do you want to do the card first, and then I can tell you all the things that are up in my life, or how does it work?
First of all, while we're shuffling and doing stuff, you have to tell us how you chill for the with all the crazy energy that's going on. How do you recharge?
How do I recharge? Mm-hmm. Well, I right now I'm unemployed, so I don't have that kind of stress going on. Just the other kind, you know, finding a job.
Right.
And so, you know, I get a decent amount of rest, and I do a lot of dreaming, and I, you know, I've done some nice things in the woods, and, you know, connect with friends and all that sort of stuff. But I really want to get to some of my creative projects, which I was on a roll with, and then I have to deal with some of the most basic things in life, like finding a place to live and you know, all
eating.
That kind of stuff.
So it was Columbia, Missouri, right?
I just wrote down.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to make sure.
But I'm saying it's the western way to Missouri. Rather.
Missouri, right.
The
that's
western
okay.
side of Missouri is the southern side.
There it is.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. So where the cards lead us this morning for you is again the card of Aphrodite, the card that talks about taking a moment to step back and appreciate all of the beauty of the earth. Really, it's especially challenging if you are feeling pressured to deal with, you know, the basic survival issues. To again take a moment and appreciate that field of flowers for being an amazing field of flowers. You know, to hear the bird song and to let it, you know, really lift your spirit. So. Let that be fuel for you as you are dealing with, as you said, the really basic things of finding a place to live, finding, you know, money to keep you there. They may be basic, but they are huge challenges to us.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, they can be quite worrisome. So make sure that you take the time to appreciate the bounty of beauty and pleasure that surrounds.
Yeah,
and,
nice.
And then we also have the Mother of Blades. And this card talks about needing to give and receive feedback in a very straightforward fashion. Kind of a no holds barred, not being unkind, not being cruel, certainly not... not personalizing feedback that we are given in those ways, but to just hear and give information. It can be a cutting time. There's information that must be given and received.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, I feel like this is a separate thing from that, the card of the learner. Of taking on new skill and realizing that as you do that, you are also teaching the teacher. And I feel, again, there's that reciprocity that happens between the student and the mentor that can really spark growth for both people when it's done right.
Mm-hmm.
So I would look at real critical information. This would be more in terms of the survival issues.
Yeah, as usual, I focus on everything other than what I need to focus on.
Oh, yeah, I think that's true for many of us, right? I mean, that's a lot of human nature. We are like that as a species. But it is a good thing, and this is the right time, and allow your immersion in the beauty of nature and the world to buoy you enough to be able to do that.
Because that's the way around that. Sometimes if you can't theoretically focus on what you think you should be focusing on, maybe
it's too much. It's
that's
like,
what I mean.
Like
baby steps.
Overwhelming.
Or give yourself like a couple hours a day that, you know, I have a lot of fire also. And sometimes, and I can just be going off and especially Sag, as you want to go off forward in five other directions. Give yourself maybe 2 hours a day that you focus on the jobs and focus on the concrete stuff that you really need to do, just a couple hours, few hours every day, instead of thinking, oh, I've got to do that now, so that you never get a chance to get any joy out of your day, because it's really important to always have some joy in your day. I say. Now, you have... so you have in your, you know, in your natal chart, you've got Pisces and Jupiter, Jupiter and Chiron and Pisces conjunct right on the sixth house cusp.
Wait a minute. I think you got it. I think you got the time wrong. Did you do 8:05 or AM or PM?
AM.
Yeah. See, wait a minute. How did that work? Cause, I got Sag rising, so it should be second and third house cusp.
Okay. Well, it's 8:55. I guess I got it wrong. So
8:05 a.m. Yeah. So that's what I thought. December 2nd, 1962. Yeah, you got the 62 part right.
Well.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Maybe
I got it. Let me redo. I don't really have time to redo it. I'm sorry.
Lynn is furiously punching in new numbers.
I could say that I've got Neptune really close. Conjuncting Jupiter Chiron there, the transit.
So how have you used that lovely piece of?
how have I used it? I'm really good at dreaming.
But Chiron is not. But Neptune's not just about dreaming. It's also about creating.
Yes.
And the higher vibration of it is also a very spiritual thing. So you have a huge piece of talent there that you can focus in on.
And I was until the whole thing with the housing thing came up. I was like really happy that the project I've been working on, which is a screenplay, you know, was coming along, and I was like, you know, so, you know, I was using my early unemployment for that. And then this housing crisis thing came up, and it's just been, you know, I've just...
That can really just take the wind right out your sails.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody
needs a place to be.
Yeah, in terms of everything.
Yeah.
So,
housing in this town, that's...
Oh, gosh.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I had to look about a year ago, and that was bad. And then this is, like, impossible. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's possible that I might have to leave for a while, you know, like I got my name on some waiting lists, and but I might have to leave for a while and visit my parents who are ill. So, yeah.
Right. All things in time and cycle. Right. And well, very best of luck to you. No small feat there with the finding housing at this time, as we've talked about on multiple shows. Best of luck, and happy and blessed solstice.
And that might be just the time with your parents that might switch things, turn things around. You never know.
Thanks very much for your call. And with that, we have but a minute left. Lynn, what's coming up?
I see that coming up on KBOO at 9, it's Veterans Voice with Northwest Veterans for Peace. The guest is Helen Silvis, former reporter for the Scanner newspaper. Thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you are not a current member today, you can remedy that oh so easily by becoming one by going to kboo.fm, clicking on Donate Today. Thank you all so much for this, for tuning into our show. We always have fun. The hour flies by when we do our little mini meetings.
It so does. Next week, Guy McPherson will be our guest. We'll be talking about how we deal with the fact that we know it's already too late. more on that later. Stay tuned to KBOO, your community radio station. Follow us on Facebook, where you can find us Positively Revolting. And, of course, in the Twitterverse, at Positive Revolt. Take good care. Blessed solstice. See you next week.
Comes a time when every second, every day, when every action, every thought will tell the world how you cast your vote.
It is 9 a.m. and you are tuned to KBOO Portland. And as you heard, we are standing by for Veterans Voice at 9. And at 10 today, our Cascadia is off. We'll hear Flashpoints, featuring an interview with South Carolina activist and writer Kevin Alexander Gray on the church killings and the roots of the white supremacy movement. Arms control expert Alice Slater talks about the new Cold War between the U.S. and Russia. An interview with Sister Megan Rice, who was just freed after serving 2 years for pouring her blood on nuclear warheads, and the Biggs Beat returns with a critical look at gay marriage. And at 11 on the Radio Zine, host Ethan Scarl speaks with Dr. Jonathan Simon, author of Code Red, Computerized Election Theft and the New American Century. They will talk about election theft in America and what we can do about it.